This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, UK's finally raised interest rates above 0.5%. It happened earlier this month. Bank of England voted to increase sterling interest rate from 0.5% to 0.75%. What's that, the second rise in a decade? Hard to believe, isn't it?
It is hard to believe. I mean, that latest decision, as you say, from the Bank of England to increase the UK interest rate from 0.5% to 0.75% is the first time in since 2009 that those rates have gone to this level. I guess that says something about the UK economy, and perhaps more importantly to our listeners, it may, of course, mean that it could have some effect on British expatriates. Rate rises have been, you know, scarce, to say the least, in recent times. Before the previous increase to 0.5% back in November last year, you've got to go back over a decade to July 2007, pre the financial crisis, to find the last time rates lifted. So what seems today like a quite remarkable high then of 5.75%, and then after a series of steady decreases, then we got to a 9-year sort of deadlock of 0.5% in an attempt to rejuvenate the UK economy, and to some extent, a very successful step it was. That was only interrupted by a 15-month blip, if you like, when the Brexit vote was made, where interest rates were reduced to 0.25%. And so, you know, the interest rate scene has begun to change for the first time in a decade, and perhaps we ought to look at how that might affect our listeners.
So what prompted the bank to finally raise rates to more than 0.5%?
Well, generally speaking, and we've discussed this in the past, Howard, normally interest rate increases are used to dampen what is an overheating economy and to try and bring inflation as close to the 2% target that the government set the Bank of England. Now, with UK inflation, as it's measured currently by the Consumer Price Index, down to around about 2.4% in June, albeit still above target, and with a modest gross domestic product growth in prospect, the economy is, in the UK at any rate, showing serious signs of a reasonable recovery. Now, there are a number of other indicators of economic improvement. We've got a low in unemployment, as low as it's been for the last 40 odd years. We've got, in most areas, stronger retail sales. And we've got, for the first time in a long time, a series of upward steps in wage growth. The Bank of England forecast put the UK economy growth at 1.4% this year and 1.7% next year. And so as a consequence, the Bank of England have acted, if you like, to some extent preemptively to try to stem inflation, which is often created when excessive borrowing takes place because interest rates are low. But as we've said before, it often takes a long time for an interest rate increase to actually dampen the effects of inflation and bring about the kind of position that the Bank of England are looking for. So we may be very well talking about the impact of this increase in interest rates not really taking full effect for probably another 6 or 9 months.
Do you think, Bill, this is the start of an interest rate rise cycle? We had rates of 5% back in 2008. Do you think we'll get back to those levels?
I don't, Howard. No, not at the moment. I don't see rates rising to that level for a very long time. Look, I'm not an economist, but of course many of the economists whom you know, Blevins Franks, for instance, will study, they consider this growth to be, you know, too sluggish, if you like, to warrant a sustained interest rate increase. Now, you know, with there's intense and, if you like, ongoing uncertainty around Brexit, plus the impact of President Trump's trade war causing a degree of global instability, the UK is far from settled. And as such, the increases we've seen don't necessarily signal the end of static or even decreasing rates, nor a return to pre-financial crisis averages of above 5%. The Bank of England Governor, Mark Carney, hasn't ruled out lowering interest rates to counteract, you know, forthcoming Brexit pressures, but reiterating, as he has, that any future increases will be somewhat gradual and limited, and he has said that it's unlikely to see UK interest rates exceed 3% during the next two decades. So wow. We're not looking at any stage at interest rates going back to the post 5% levels.
No. You mentioned earlier, Bill, the link between inflation and interest rates. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the relationship between inflation and interest rates is not as clear-cut as many people think. When you have, to put it simply, inordinately low interest rates, think about the interest rate payable on credit, for example, the general public as a whole and many other areas of our economy are inclined to then go out and borrow money, which at low interest rates is affordable. And that spending through the borrowing increases the prices that are paid in the marketplace, and therefore inflation begins to rise. And there has been a rise in UK inflation. And the whole idea of interest rates is to try and dampen the demand for credit and dampen the borrowing and thereby reduce the spending and thereby bring down inflation. Now, I've analogized this in the past, Howard, to trying to slow down one of those massive great ocean-going oil tankers. When the skipper of one of those tankers throws the engine into reverse to stop the tanker from going forward, the tanker will still travel about 30 miles across the ocean before it comes to a halt. And it's rather like that with these interest rate increases, in the sense that when the interest rate is made, it then takes 6 to 9 months before that settles down into an action within the economy.
So, Bill, for listeners in Spain, let's look at what rate increase could mean for British expatriates here, starting with their savings. Do you think they'll start to earn more from their sterling bank deposits now?
It's possible, but I wouldn't hold your hopes out too much on that score, because what tends to happen is that when interest rates fall, savings accounts almost immediately follow suit and rates for savers fall. But unfortunately, when they go up, they don't tend to follow the same upward path. Now, higher rates, of course, do mean it's more expensive to repay a mortgage and other loans. And it can, as I've said, boost the return on bank deposits and other savings. Now, to reiterate, in practice, the link between the official base rate and the savings rate is relatively weak, and it does take time to trickle down. I mean, 9 months now after November's increase to 0.5%, only 50% of UK savings accounts have increased their rates, and then only at an average of 0.2%. So when you add inflation at over 2%, this further continues to erode, if you like, the real returns on capital. You can achieve better rates, of course, for locking your money away for longer, but this then obviously stops you from taking advantage of other opportunities if interest rates continue to fall in the interim. I mean, with the general consensus is that UK rates are expected only to reach about 1.1% by the year 2021.
Wow.
Now, achieving better returns than money in the bank means considering other alternatives at the lower risk end of the spectrum if you are going to make your money earn its keep and stay in your spending power within the inflation rate that's being applied to your money.
Yeah. What about the sterling euro exchange rate? Should higher interest rates lead to a stronger pound?
This interest rate increase has happened at a very strange point in UK economic circumstances. Normally, when interest rate increases take place, remember, going from 0.5% to 0.75% is to increase the actual bank base rate by 50%. In the international exchange markets, that would conventionally have meant a significant increase in the value of sterling related to other currencies. And in this particular case, let's stick with this comparison to the euro. In the immediate aftermath, strangely, of the rate announcement last month, the British pound rose against the euro before dropping and then settling. The movement was much, much slighter than would normally be the case with such an increase in interest rates. It's kept the exchange rate with sterling down to about 1.12 euros to the pound. Now, most of the economic commentators agree that the impact on the exchange rate was slight because of the uncertainty that exists with Brexit. And most, again, most commentators agree that Brexit is more likely to impact the value of sterling than the UK interest rate.
Yeah.
If you draw your income in sterling while living in Europe, you're going to be vulnerable to fluctuating exchange rates during this enormously volatile period. And that's why I think investor savers now need to sort of be looking at alternative opportunities to get the best from their money.
Yeah. Could the higher interest rate affect UK pensions?
Where are we going with Brexit? If I knew the answer to that, I could be a very wealthy man. But I read recently that a no-deal Brexit, which has been forecast by some of the more right-wing elements of the Leave campaign, I read the article which said that British pensioners living abroad could risk losing over 20% of their pension because of the fluctuations in the pound value as that no-deal Brexit scenario keeps pushing sterling down. Now, you know, we've got about 250,000 British retirees living abroad with pensions paid in sterling. But those pensions which are paid in sterling and then drawn down to spend in euros via the ATM or bank-to-bank transfers, I mean, obviously, they're always going to be open to currency exchange fluctuations. Look, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but let me give you an example of how a decreasing pound exchange rate has cut expatriate spending power in just 2 years. At the very beginning of 2007, £1 was worth €1.48. By January 2009, the economic crisis had occurred in the interim, it had fallen to just €1.06. Now, someone on a £2,000 a month pension, a retiree living in an EU member state, he would have initially have received just short of £3,000, and that would have fallen by 28% 2 years later because of the fluctuation in exchange rates. There is the message there.
Yeah.
That if your pension fund is denominated in sterling, you need to take appropriate action to make sure that your spending in a foreign currency, the euro, is protected against these currency valuations. Now, you can't do that at all easily with a state pension, but there are alternatives out there for pension holders that they should consider seriously in the short to medium term.
Yeah. So what action can they actually take after this interest rate rise? What advice is to people who are keeping much of their savings currently in cash?
Well, I think the warning is there, and it's for everybody to listen and take notice. There is no question that interest rates are still going to remain very low indeed. As I say, they're expected to stay just about 1% until 2021. And in the meantime, inflation is rising at rates pretty much double that. And so you do need to sit down and take an holistic approach, if you like, to the way in which you now consider your investment, your savings and your pension, so that everything is dealt with in one roundup of your financial affairs to make sure you get the best from everything. There are opportunities in low-risk investments and lower-risk investments which will produce you returns significantly above what you can obtain on cash deposit. And I understand that, you know, most cash savers are there because they don't want to take unnecessary risk. But the risks you're taking by remaining stoic and faithful to cash deposits is that your capital is being eroded regularly, year in, year out, to the point at which in the future your spending power will be much less than it is today.
Yeah.
You need to diversify, and you need in particular to make sure that your long-term income in retirement from any pensions that you hold is either transported out of a UK-based pound system and valued and invested in assets of the currency in which you intend to be spending money for the rest of your life, and in this case, the euro.
And if our listeners want to get in touch with Blevins Franks, I suppose the website's the best place.
Yeah, www.blevinsfranks.com has got lots of information about pensions, about Brexit, and indeed, most importantly, it will give you details of the Blevins Franks office closest to where you live so that you might make contact and arrange for an introductory meeting so that you can understand the sort of things that might be of benefit to you.
Interesting times, Bill. Thank you very much.
They are held. Have a good week.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.